Title: Hallmark Movies and Mysteries presents Rue the Day, a gourmet detective mystery.
Oh, of course it's the real book. I'm holding it in my hand right now.
Amuse Entertainment production.
But, listen to me.
A man with gloves opens door.
No, we have to do this tonight. My boss will be back tomorrow. It's now or never.
Walks carefully down a hall.
20,000 cash and it's yours. That's right.
Man on phone looks over shoulder.
Hold on a sec.
He stands up and looks down dark aisle.
Hello?
Somebody watches from over a shelf. The man sits back down at the desk and takes the phone.
Okay, listen to me. 20,000 is what we agreed to. Yeah, but do you know how many people would kill for this book?
He straightens in his chair.
Okay, good. Good. Great. You bring the money tonight.
He sets the phone down and stands up suddenly. A figure appears in front of him.
Yes!
Oh! Whoa! You scared the heck out of me. Oh, can you believe he just tried to renegotiate the price? Unbelievable. But we're all set.
He holds out a gun and cocks it.
What are you doing? No, don't!
The man falls over dead. The figure with gloved hands bends down to pick up the book. A city with skyscrapers at dawn. Restaurant, Molly's.
Hey, new menus just came in.
Oh, good. Let me see.
They look great.
Henry flips menu over.
You were right about paring the menu down. Looks a lot cleaner.
Yeah, this does look better, doesn't it? We're also going to save money by having less inventory on hand.
I knew partnering with my son on a restaurant was a brilliant idea.
Smiles.
Oh, yeah, I meant to tell you, a distillery rep dropped by, wanted to know if we were interested in some samples. I said, sure. You okay with that?
Yeah, of course. We're equal partners in Molly's.
Smiles and nods.
Oh, I am running late for a meeting with a lawyer. I will catch up with you later, okay, Dad?
Yep. You know where to find me.
Yes, I do.
Maggie at computer.
Well, it sounds like all of your classes are going well. Do you still like all of your professors?
Yeah, everybody's great. I really like them.
That's great, sweetie. And what about friends? Have you made any new ones? Anyone special?
Mom, you're being so obvious.
What do you mean so obvious? I'm just asking about your life.
Let's talk later. I'm going to be late, okay?
Okay. Oh, I don't want you to be late.
All right.
Have fun, sweetie.
I will.
All right, I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, love you.
I love you too.
Bye.
Bye.
Chris.
Oh, hey, Captain. Here you go. The ballistics report on the Miller case.
Good, thanks.
Gives Forsythe a folder.
Oh, snooping around on your daughter's social media again, huh?
I'm not snooping. I'm just looking.
Pictures on computer.
Does this body language look like just friends to you?
Sure.
Bryce, here are those background checks you were asking about.
Oh, thanks, Bailey.
Yeah.
Minero appears.
Oh, snooping around on Abby's social media again, Bryce?
I'm not snooping!
She's looking.
Yeah.
Right. Well, hey, we're all going to Molly's. Why don't you and Henry meet us there?
Can't. I've got to wrap some things up. And Henry's actually meeting me here later because we are going to a Giants game.
What?
Come on. Henry hates baseball. You should be taking your boss.
And I would, but you have no idea how hard it was to convince him to even see a game. I am determined to make this man a Giants fan.
Yeah, well, good luck with that.
Smiles.
Wow, love the support, guys. Thanks.
Henry talks to Eric over a desk.
It turned out that the blank had been replaced by a real bullet by the son-in-law, hoping to cash in on the wife's inheritance.
Fortunately, Maggie and I discovered the truth before anyone else was killed.
Well, sounds like the police made a good call in making you an official consultant.
I mean, I don't have my own desk yet, but I'm working on it.
I'm afraid I can't offer you anything as exciting as a murder case.
Trust me, Eric, I've had more than enough of that to last me a while. I'm more than happy to return to my usual culinary work.
So, what do you have in mind? You're obviously aware of the restaurant, the Belvedere's Fine Dining.
Well, of course. They were a San Francisco institution for close to 100 years. It's a shame that they closed their doors, what, almost 10 years now?
Yeah, that's right. The restaurant used to have something called a chef's book. Are you aware?
Sure. Yeah, all good restaurants have one. It's a valuable item. Unfortunately for Belvedere's, theirs went missing years ago. It's actually kind of a mythical thing now amongst collectors wondering if the... Wait.
Smiles.
Telling me it's been found?
Yeah, the client just learned that that the book has resurfaced and is going up for auction tonight.
They want to hire you to attend the auction, verify its authenticity, and bid on the book,
should you deem it to be the real thing.
Well, that is a pretty coveted book. How high is your client willing to go?
You have permission to go as high as you need to. And my client is offering you a generous fee.
Eric writes something on a piece of paper and hands it to Henry.
That is a big number.
I know you have quite an impressive collection of antique books, and the fact that you're trained as a chef makes you especially qualified for this. There's some urgency here, as my client just learned of the book's reappearance, and the auction is this evening. I promised him you're the man for the job.
Any hint who this client is?
I'm afraid not.
Shakes head.
So are you interested?
Absolutely. I just have one question.
Of course.
Can I bring a date?
Hey!
Henry approaches.
Hey! Are you ready?
Yep. I just have to run something by you first.
Okay, well, I got this for you. I have a matching one. And I made us these hats and a foam finger.
So listen, Maggie, about tonight.
Oh, no. You're canceling.
I am not canceling.
Good, because we have great seats, and I've literally been dreaming about kettle corn all day long.
So we just need to take a little detour on the way to the game first.
A detour. Tiny one.
To an auction. To buy a book.
You want to delay going to the game to buy a book?
Not just any book. One of the most famous chef's books in the entire country.
A cookbook?
No, no. A chef's book. It's like a cookbook, but much more important and far more detailed. Chefs add to it over time, writing their trade secrets and the recipes to their most famous signature dishes. The fact that this particular book recently resurfaced, it's very exciting. I mean, I do have to verify its authenticity first, but that'll be really quick, I promise.
Is this for a client?
An anonymous client.
Okay. Very mysterious.
Maggie puts a giant hat on Henry.
Thank you for understanding.
You're welcome. Now, let's get going so we're not late.
She gives him a giant finger.
You realize this isn't happening, right?
Oh, but it is! And you look so cute!
Sign, Children's Hospital Annual Charity Auction. Crowds gather around artifacts and artworks.
There are some really beautiful things for sale here.
You know, it's strange. I don't see the Belvedere Chef's book anywhere. It's listed in the catalog, but I just haven't seen it.
Maybe they haven't brought it out yet.
You'd think it would be front and center with all the attention surrounding, and I just really need to get a close examination of it before the bidding starts.
Isn't that against the rules?
We're making an announcement right now.
Elsa?
Henry Ross. Of course you're here.
Good to see you, too. You must be Mrs. Klein. It is such a pleasure to meet you. I'm Henry Ross, and this is Maggie Price.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming and supporting the charity.
No, of course. Mrs. Klein throws this annual charity auction in support of the Children's Hospital.
Oh, what a wonderful idea.
Isn't it? Let me guess. You're here to bid on the Belvedere Chef's book.
In fact, I am.
Well, you're out of luck. They sold it out from under us this morning.
What? Is that true?
How could you have advertised a book and not let anyone bid on it?
I'm so sorry for the confusion, but I did agree to a private sale of the book early this morning.
Without giving anyone else a chance to even see it?
It was a very generous offer, and with an auction, you never know if the bids will meet expectations. I had no idea there would be such interest.
You didn't think a 100-year-old chef's book that mysteriously disappeared years ago and now suddenly appears out of nowhere would generate any interest?
Well, if it was hers to sell and she's happy with the outcome, it seems there's nothing to be done.
At least tell us who you sold it to so that I can make him an offer.
I'm afraid I can't give out that kind of information. I'm sorry. Now, if you'll excuse me, I need to make an announcement before the auction starts.
Of course.
She nods to the couple.
Nothing to be done. We'll see about that.
Well, now, she's lovely.
She's a food critic.
I feel like there's a story here.
Her restaurant reviews aren't even reviews. They're petty takedowns. She has nothing interesting or original to say about
food. Excuse me, Henry Ross?
Yes.
I thought that was you. I follow you on social media. I'm kind of a fan. Leah Rollins?
Pleasure to meet you, Leah. This is Maggie.
I heard the book was sold. That's such a shame. I really wanted to see it.
Yeah, I did too.
Probably sounds silly, but it felt kind of personal for me. I come from a long line of cooks in Louisiana. Belvedere's was one of the best known Creole restaurants in the world. Would have given anything to see that book.
Mm-hmm. Are you in the food business?
Yeah, I just opened up the Creole Rooster downtown about 6 months ago. It's a mix of Cajun and Creole cooking. Have you heard of it?
I have, I just haven't been in yet.
Oh, well, please stop by anytime. We make the best black and fish tacos you've ever had.
Wow. We will definitely do that.
Call ahead. I will make sure you get the best seat in the house.
Okay, then.
Henry smiles and turns to Maggie. Lee leaves and Maggie gives Henry a look.
Why? She's a fan.
I'm teasing.
She takes his arm.
I'm sorry that you're not going to get your book for your client.
Tell me about it. Without that book, I can't collect most of my fee. Actually, it's not about the money. I just don't like letting down a client. It doesn't happen that often.
I know.
Maggie catches sight of two women consulting a clipboard in the corner.
I'm just going to go freshen up quickly. I'll meet you out front in 5, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Maggie walks by the two women and pauses to look at them as she passes by. The two women walk off. Maggie continues on. She enters into an office and examines the books on the desk. Text, record book. She opens another book and finds a collection of receipts. Maggie smiles and flips through them. She points to a receipt of the book. Text, Belvedere Chef's Book, Michael Goldstein, $20,000. Maggie pulls out her phone and takes a picture of it. She looks over her shoulder and leaves.
Oh, that is not the bathroom.
She points over her shoulder and talks to security guard.
So Michael Goldstein bought the book.
That's what the ledger said. He paid $20,000 for it.
Look at you, breaking the rules. I've clearly had a positive effect on you.
Well, it was easy. I mean, the book was just sitting right there, practically begging me to peek inside.
Uh-huh. Michael Goldstein. Well, that makes perfect sense. He owns an antique store that specializes in rare books.
Is this place far away? And we could go there right now and see if he's willing to sell you the book.
No, come on. You've been so excited for this game. You got those great seats. No, Goldstein store is in my neighborhood. I drive by it practically every day. I'll just go tomorrow in the morning.
And let somebody else buy the book first? No, wait. Let's go now. We can be a little bit late for the game.
He grimaces.
I was hoping you were going to say that.
She smiles and shakes her head. Maggie gets out of the car and pauses to look at something.
Everything okay?
Yeah, I just realized where we are. I know this street.
Yeah? Oh.
When Abby was little, we used to go to a restaurant here. It's not there anymore, but we used to have this weekly ritual. Every Saturday night, just the two of us would go to this restaurant, and I would say, you can have whatever you want, anything. But without fail, she would always choose the mac and cheese. Every single time. It's her favorite dish. It still is.
Raises his eyebrows.
Anyway, sorry, I just had this flash, and
you miss her, don't you?
Oh, so much. You know, I just keep having this feeling like I've forgotten something, or I left my purse somewhere, and then I realize, no, it's not that my purse is gone. It's my baby girl's at college, and she's 400 miles away, and I don't even know what she's up to anymore.
I get it. You raised her almost single-handedly. You two were a team, huh?
They walk down the sidewalk hand in hand.
You know what? Maybe it's time for you to get a hobby.
They walk into the antique store.
What? I have hobbies.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Oh, really? Name one.
Okay, running.
That's exercise. It doesn't count.
Who says?
I do.
Okay. Hello? Mr. Goldstein?
Look. A hobby can't be good for you, okay? It has to exist on its own merits. It can be educational, but it can't be work-related.
Geez, so many rules.
Well, I take my downtime very seriously.
Well, you do have more hours in the day than most
of us. Yeah, and whose fault is that? I'd have a lot less of it if you would let me help out on more cases.
A man is dead.
Henry, check the back door.
Henry runs off. Maggie walks up to him and crouches beside him. Henry runs out of the back door of the store and finds an empty parking lot.
It's just an alley. Nobody's there. Is he
dead?
She nods. Ambulance and police cars outside the store.
That's right. His name was Richard Palmer. Everybody just called him Richie. He's been working for me for about 6 months.
So, Mr. Goldstein, what can you tell me about him?
He was quiet. He didn't like to talk much about himself, so I didn't pry. He didn't know much about antiques, but seemed interested in learning. Overall, he was a good employee.
Any idea who might want to hurt Richie?
No idea. Like I said, he never shared his personal life with me. Normally, I wouldn't entrust an employee to buy such a valuable book for me, but I was visiting my mother up in Santa Rosa when Josie Klein called me, asking if I wanted to buy the Belvedere Chef's book before the auction started. Richie texted me around 9:30 this morning that he had it and was getting the store ready to open at 10. I texted him back, reminding him to put the book in the safe.
And it's not there now?
No, and it's not anywhere behind the counter.
Could he have put it anywhere else in the store?
It's possible. I can't know without checking, but he knew how valuable it was. I'm sure he would have put it in the safe like I asked.
Is there anything else that you can think of that may be relevant?
I don't know if it's relevant, but Josie made one request, that I not sell the book.
Why wouldn't she want you to sell the book?
I'm also a collector. Josie knew I have a particular interest in San Francisco history. I think she wanted to sell the book to someone who would appreciate its historical significance.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Give me a call if you think of anything else, and I'll be in touch if I have any more questions.
Okay. She gives card.
Have a nice night.
You too.
He looks down at the card, then looks up worried. The antique store is full of police.
Black Dahlia. I smelled it when we walked in.
What's that?
Perfume. It's hanging in the air.
Monroe points to Bailey.
I don't know how you smell that over this one's cologne.
Nolan, what have you got for me?
From the blood viscosity, I say the victim was shot within 4, maybe 5 hours. Single bullet, close range. I won't know more until I get back into the lab.
That's weird. Henry and I heard the back door right before we found him. That was less than 2 hours ago. I just assumed that it was the killer running. But with your timeline of 5 hours, that doesn't add up.
I don't know what to tell you, Detective. Science doesn't lie.
Maybe he stuck around looking for something and ran out when we entered the store.
What do you think we're looking at, Price?
I don't know. It could be a robbery gone bad or something personal. Too many unknowns to know for sure right now. I want you two to stay here with Michael Goldstein and confirm that the book is missing. Then talk to Josie Klein and ID everyone from the auction, especially anyone who expressed an interest in the cookbook.
Chef's book.
What? There's a difference.
Okay. Henry and I are going to go to the precinct now.
Sounds good.
They turn and leave. The two walk into the precinct.
Why would anybody kill over a cookbook?
Chef's book.
Oh.
There is a difference. These books contain top secret information.
Top secret?
Famous restaurants are naturally protective over their signature dishes.
I don't care how good that restaurant was. I am not buying that somebody was murdered over menu.
What if they were murdered over money? Michael Goldstein paid $20,000 for that book. What if somebody thought they could get more?
That food critic from the auction seemed to want the book pretty badly. What was her name again?
Elsa Edwards.
Yeah, exactly. We need to follow up with her.
Maybe we can do the old good cop, bad cop routine with her. Make her sweat a little.
Henry.
Come on, she's a food critic.
We'll talk. And what about that other woman?
What other woman?
Leah Rollins. She owns a Cajun Creole-themed restaurant.
That's right. We'll check her out, too.
Pins up image of Leah.
She'd be thrilled to have you come by. And what about the Belvedere family? You said that the restaurant's been closed for years. Are there any family members still alive?
Yes.
Photo.
One, Nicholas Belvedere. The restaurant closed when his father passed away, and Nicholas decided not to carry on with the business. I believe he still lives on the family estate out in Marin County.
Okay. We'll pay him a visit tomorrow as well.
Forsyth crosses arms.
Bailey and Monroe should have a list of all the auction attendees ready by then. And we'll know for sure if the book is missing from Goldstein's store.
Anything else?
Yeah. This lawyer who hired you, Eric McLaren, how well do you know him?
We're friendly, but not close. We met at an event years ago and occasionally bump into each other socially. I've never hired him, but he does have a good reputation.
Why the secrecy over this client who hired you?
I have no idea. He wouldn't tell me.
Maybe he was lying to you. Maybe he wanted to keep the book for himself.
Why would he do that?
For the same reason someone would kill for this book.
Pins up picture of Eric.
I want to know who this mystery client is and why he's hiding behind this guy. Mr. McLaren, do I need to remind you this is a murder investigation?
Detective Price.
You know as well as I do. Unless you can prove
that my client intentionally hired me with the intent of committing or covering a crime,
their identity is protected by client attorney privilege.
I'll be in touch, Mr. McLaren. Thank you.
I look forward to it.
Eric puts the receiver on his chin.
That's what I was afraid of.
Just had to go to an auction, didn't we?
Henry looks at her.
My bad.
By the way, you owe me tickets to a Giants game.
Yes. I'm sorry we missed the game. That's on me.
It's okay. We can go another time.
Of course.
The car pulls up to a house in the countryside.
Giants are football.
Baseball, Henry. The Giants are baseball.
Yes, I knew that. I knew that.
I told you 1,000 times.
Exactly.
Maggie looks over her shoulder and sees a large SUV pull up to park. Nicholas opens the front door.
Mr. Belvedere?
Oh, please call me Nicholas.
Hi. I'm Detective Price.
Hi.
And this is Henry Ross.
Hi. Nice to meet you. Please, come in.
Thank you.
They enter. Maggie turns to look once more at the parked SUV.
This is a beautiful estate, Nicholas. How long has it been in your family?
Well, my great-grandfather bought the property in the 50s. It's close to 100 acres. He grew all of his own vegetables here for the restaurant. Now, we had greenhouses and acres of crops. We were farm to table long before it was trendy.
Windmill.
Oh, wow. I recognize that painting. That's not a real Van Gogh, is it?
No, it's not real. My great-grandfather bought this knockoff at a flea market years before Belvedere's was a success. When we built the new house, we decided to hang it here to remind the family of our humble beginnings. Please, sit.
Sits.
Thanks.
Nicholas, you won't remember this, but we actually met years ago at the restaurant. Your dad was running it then, and he invited me back into the kitchen. I was just a young sous chef at the time. And I remember seeing you sitting at this little table off to the side, out of the way, doing homework.
I'll tell you, I feel like I spent my whole childhood in that kitchen. Lots of memories.
Well, just to pick up where we left off on the phone, Nicholas, do you have any idea why someone might kill for your family's cookbook? Chef's book?
Henry gives luck.
No, it makes no sense to me at all.
Have you ever seen this book?
No, I really don't know anything about it. I was never part of running the restaurant. That's just not my thing. I do remember my father being angry about a missing book once. I assume now it must have been the chef's book.
Well, you must have heard about the book's reappearance. Why didn't you try to purchase it, if for sentimental reasons, if nothing else?
I did hear about the auction, but honestly, I didn't give it a second thought.
So you're not my mystery client?
Henry smiles.
An anonymous person hired me through a lawyer to buy the book at auction.
No, sorry.
Why didn't you follow in your father's footsteps and keep the restaurant open? I mean, it was obviously very successful.
Sighs.
Running Belvedere's Fine Dining was a 24/7 operation. My mother died when I was a kid, and all the men in my family who ran the restaurant died young, including my father. I had no interest in that kind of life.
So what do you do now?
I'm primarily an investor. Managing my portfolio keeps me pretty busy. So, do you really think someone was murdered over the book?
That's one theory that we're working on.
And someone secretly hired you to buy it?
Yes.
Nods.
Why the secrecy?
That is what we're trying to find out.
Nicholas frowns.
Thank you for your time, Nicholas. We may have further questions, but I think we're good for now.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Yep.
They both shake his hand. Black and white photos behind the couch. A man in a chef's hat surrounded by cooks and waiters.
Says we're 5 minutes away from Elsa's.
Now, I know you don't like Elsa, but promise me you'll be professional, okay?
Of course. I would never interfere with our investigation.
My investigation.
I still say we should grill her back at the station.
Maggie gives him a glare. Eric looks at her out of the corner of his eye.
I read it in the paper. Figured you'd show up sooner or later. Come on in.
Elsa lets them in.
Ah, the Phoenix Award from the Society of Food Critics. Impressive.
Thank you. Have a seat.
At counter.
So, Elsa?
It's funny, though. I always thought the SFC was about responsible food journalism.
Henry.
So you're accusing my journalism of being unethical?
No. Just unoriginal.
Of course. This is about my review of your restaurant. I said some nice things about Molly's. I just found it...
Unoriginal?
Nods.
My father and I opened a restaurant to cater to everyone. A place where you could bring a date, your family, co-workers, and everyone would have a good time because the food wasn't fussy. It's comfort food. And you know what comfort food needs to be besides delicious?
What?
It needs to be familiar. If we try too hard to be original, we're no longer familiar, and then we're not delivering the experience we set out to create.
Chefs are always so sensitive.
I'm not the chef.
Just the not-so-silent partner.
Henry gives her a look.
Elsa, did you ever review Belvedere's when it was open?
Of course. I did a few pieces on them over the years.
And I'm assuming you were a fan, given how interested you were in the chef's book?
The restaurant was going downhill at the end, in my opinion. But I am a collector. The book covers decades from the restaurant's heyday, and I was interested to see what kind of recipe secrets might be in there. I wasn't the only one, obviously.
Do you own a gun?
I do. For protection.
As a critic, my words carry a lot of weight and can impact a restaurant's bottom line. I've received threats.
I'd like to see it.
My gun? Why?
Frowns.
Or the murder weapon, you think I'd hang on to it? I've watched enough TV to know you always toss the weapon.
Can you get it for me, please?
I've also watched enough TV to know that you need a warrant before I have to show you anything.
Having to make two trips never puts me in a good mood, but if that's the way that you would prefer it, fine. Where did you go after the auction? I don't remember seeing you leave.
Once it became clear that the book was no longer for sale, I came home.
Can anyone else verify that?
No. I live alone.
All right. I think that's all I need for now.
Maggie looks at Henry.
Yeah.
All three leave the kitchen.
Elsa, your perfume smells so familiar. Do you mind if I ask the name of it?
It's called Black Dahlia.
That's the name of it. I thought I recognized it.
She blinks.
We'll be back with that one.
Henry raises his eyebrows at her. Elsa stares off into the distance and glowers, then walks away.
But she wears the same perfume I smelled at the crime scene, and she won't give us her gun.
I know, that's not enough to bring her in. I'm waiting on the ballistics report to see if we get a match first before I do anything more.
Henry takes a drink of his coffee.
Would you call the food Molly's unoriginal? Huh? Maggie?
Maggie looks up.
Hello?
Hang on.
What are you doing?
She suddenly swerves to the side of the road. A red pickup drives past. Maggie and Henry step out of the car.
What is going on?
That red pickup has been tailing us for the last 5 minutes, and I could have sworn I saw the same truck at Nicholas Belvedere's.
Well, if you think we're being followed, why don't we catch up to him, pull him over, and see who it is?
Yeah, no need. I got the plates. And if we are being followed, I'd rather keep the element of surprise on our side.
Well, next time you feel a need to pull evasive maneuvers, can you give me a heads up? I almost spilled my coffee.
Are you serious?
It's hot.
She smiles and shakes her head.
Henry, get back in the car.
He looks down at his coffee.
It is.
Restaurant, Molly's. Maggie on phone.
One black coffee for Maggie. One half calf extra hot upside down soy latte for you with extra foam.
Look at you. Thanks, Dad. It only took you 6 months to learn my order.
It only took me 3 months to learn how to use this thing, which cost more than my first car.
Henry smiles.
You know, after I retired from the police force, I thought I'd be able to slow down and kick back. It's crazy around here.
No kidding.
There's the owner of that distillery I told you about.
A man carries a box.
You want to meet him?
Maggie gestures at watch.
No, maybe next time. We got to get going.
Yeah, you got it.
All right.
Sure you need another coffee there?
There's no such thing as too much coffee.
That was Monroe. The plates on that red truck belonged to another car. They'd already been reported stolen.
So do you think the guy tailing us has something to do with the case?
Well, there's no way to know for sure. I've been arresting people for 10 years. Some people carry a grudge and come looking for payback. It happens.
Henry frowns and looks side to side.
Autopsy results are in. We can now confirm that Richie Palmer was killed by a single gunshot wound to the chest at close range with a Walter PPK, no matching records in the system. Monroe, I want you and Bailey to dig deeper into Elsa Edwards. She admits to owning a gun, but she wouldn't show it to us without a warrant.
On it. Maggie also spoke with the lawyer who hired me, and as we feared, he's claiming attorney-client privilege. So that's a dead end.
Right. Well, as far as other auction attendees go, no red flags came up so far.
In the meantime, Henry and I have a meeting with Leah Rollins this afternoon at the Creole Rooster. She said it herself at the auction. The book felt personal to her, and she would do anything to see it.
Ooh, maybe while we're there, I can try some of those blackened fish tacos she was talking about.
Monroe and Bailey look at each other.
Okay.
City Street. Maggie and Henry at a restaurant table. Leah comes out.
Sorry about that. Just had to get these out of the oven. Would you like one?
Oh, no, thank you. Not while I'm working.
Ooh, these smell good. What is this?
My take on Cajun ravioli. See if you can taste my secret ingredient.
Okay, then.
He takes a bite and nods. Leah smiles.
I taste the crawfish tails and, a very fiery Cajun spice blend with a, is that a 7-pot chili pepper?
Shakes head.
Yeah, when it comes to spices, go big or go home, I always say.
No, I agree with you. You have shrimp in there, but that's not your secret ingredient, is it? No, you have another protein. Wait, is that wild boar?
Impressive.
Well, you know what they say about Cajun cooking.
Cajuns will eat anything that doesn't eat them first.
First.
Yeah, I say that as a proud Cajun myself. Mm.
I knew you were good.
Oh, well.
Oh, great. Now that we've solved that mystery, maybe we could turn our attention to the one at hand. Sorry, Leah, we need to ask you a couple of questions about the Belvedere chef's book.
Yeah, the chef's book. Why?
As you know, the book was sold before the auction. Well, the man who purchased it was murdered shortly afterward.
What? That's terrible.
Yeah, we're speaking with everyone who was at the auction.
Oh, and here I've been wasting your time bragging about my ravioli.
You seemed very interested in the book.
Yeah, I was. I didn't get to go to Belvedere's when it was open. I just wanted to see the book, you know, flip through its pages, maybe steal a few ideas.
You didn't want to buy it?
She pauses.
I don't have that kind of money.
Maggie cocks her head and smiles.
Who does? $20,000 for a book is pretty steep.
Leah smiles and nods.
How's business?
Leah looks to the side and shakes her head.
The first year of a restaurant is always touch and go, but we're doing fine.
Tough business. Sorry, I do need to ask you if you own a gun.
The murder weapon was a gun.
I do not.
You will be required to submit to a gunshot residue test.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. Whatever you guys need. I'm telling the truth.
Raises her eyebrows.
Oh, I almost forgot. I made fresh beignets. Ooh. Just for you. Just give me 1 second.
She walks off.
Are you sure you got enough to eat? Because I'm sure Leah would be more than happy to make you something else.
What? I told you, she's just a fan.
I know. And do I have to remind you, she's also a suspect in a murder investigation? She wanted the book like everybody else.
She said she didn't have the money.
So she says. Did you see how she hesitated when I asked her about how the restaurant's doing? I don't know. I think she's hiding something. Hey, Monroe, what's up?
I've been doing a deeper background check into Elsa Edwards like you asked.
Yeah?
I got a hold of her gun license. Could it take a guess?
Walter PPK?
Bingo. We don't have ballistics back yet,
but that's a pretty big coincidence, don't you think?
Now can we grill her?
Maggie closes her eyes and shakes her head.
Thanks, Monroe.
Maggie closes a door. Interview room. Elsa and Henry are seated at the table.
I told you if we met again that I wasn't going to be very happy.
Not happy at all, Elsa.
Henry.
Maggie glares at Henry.
Richie Palmer was murdered with a Walter PPK. The same model that's registered to you. Your perfume, which you identified, was smelled at the crime scene. And we all saw how outraged you were at the auction that the book had been sold before it started. So basically, I could arrest you right now for suspicion of murder, unless you want to start talking.
Okay. I was at the bookstore. There's a guy at the auction who handles their shipments, and I paid him off to tell me who had bought the book. I went into the bookstore, and I saw a man on the floor who'd obviously been shot, and I froze. I didn't know what to do, and then I heard the front door open and I panicked and I ran out the back of the store.
This came from your house. For the record, is this your Walter PPK?
Yes, it is. But like I said, I've gotten threats. But I swear to you, I did not kill Richie Palmer.
City streets over a hill. Henry and Maggie drink coffee.
Okay, got it. Thanks, Captain. Forsyth agreed to put her surveillance unit on Elsa until we find out whether the ballistics are a match. She's not going anywhere without us knowing about it. You know, something's just not adding up for me, though. I mean, I don't care how famous Belvedere's was. I'm not buying that people are willing to kill over a chef's book. There's got to be something more than just recipes in that book, or we're being lied to.
Henry raises eyebrows.
Question is, who's doing the lying?
Henry looks down at his platter and sees a folded note. He unfolds it.
Maggie, look at this.
He gives Maggie the note.
If you want the book, bring $30,000 and meet me at Dolores Park tomorrow at 9 a.m. Leave your cop friend behind. I'll be watching.
Maggie gives Henry a bulletproof vest.
How's that? Is that too tight?
No, it's good.
Call on getting suited up at your friend's house. We can't risk you being watched at yours.
Yeah, he didn't mind. He's a good friend.
Did you park on the other street?
Doubled back on the way over, circled the mission twice. Believe me, nobody was on my tail.
Great.
Maybe I should get a gun. What do you think? Should I get a gun?
There is no way that I am letting you out of this house with a gun.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think no.
Okay, let's test these levels. Just
Say something in your normal voice.
My normal voice? What other voice do I have?
Yep, that works.
Should I at least get an earpiece so I can hear you guys?
No, we can't risk it being seen.
Right.
Okay, got the approval from the chief for this from lockup. Although I gotta say, it took a little convincing that somebody was actually gonna demand $30,000 for a cookbook, but you're welcome.
Actually, it's not a cook. You know what? Never mind.
What made this guy think that you could raise that kind of money overnight?
My consulting work takes me all over the world, and I do have some pretty wealthy clients. My name's out there.
Henry has fans.
Air quotes.
Yeah, in the wrong business.
Okay. You're gonna be under surveillance the whole time. We are gonna have eyes and ears on you from the moment you walk on the scene. Bailey and Monroe are gonna be blending in with the crowd, and the captain and I are gonna be in the recording van just up the street. If at any moment you feel unsafe or threatened, just walk away, okay? Or you can use the code word and we'll come in and get you.
All right, got it. What's the code word again?
Alfredo!
I knew that, got it.
Okay.
Nods.
Once the exchange is made, Bailey and Monroe will sweep in and make the arrest. Promise me you are not gonna try and outsmart this guy, okay? He's shown himself to be a killer. Just play along, make the exchange, let us do our job.
Of course.
Henry.
I promise.
Henry walks through a park with a briefcase. A parked black van nearby.
Everyone got eyes?
She speaker into a microphone. Bailey in the bushes.
Copy.
Monroe reads the paper.
Copy. I have a clear view of Henry.
I'm good to go.
Okay, it's 9:00. Now for the waiting game.
Excuse me. Do you have the time?
Yes, it's just after 9.
Thank you.
A man sits beside Henry and talks without looking at him.
Is that the money?
Yes, it is.
Do you have the book?
Looks like we have a possible target.
Do you have ears?
We have him.
Bailey snaps pictures.
Okay, Henry, here we go. Nice and easy.
Show me the money first.
I don't think so. You show me the book first, or we don't do this.
Lowers briefcase.
You swear you came alone?
Look, you contacted me, remember?
I'm not buying anything until I verify what you've got.
The man unrolls the book from his bag. Henry holds the book. He holds up his hand.
Now give me the money.
This is not so fast. Just give me that.
He flips through the book and looks at the writing through a magnifying lens.
Come on, man. Let's go, you're killing me here.
The man makes a grimace.
Oh.
The women talk in the van.
What's he doing?
Looks like he's reading the book.
Henry, what are you doing? Give him the briefcase.
Is he actually reading a cookbook during a sting operation?
It would appear so.
What are you doing?
Henry smells the pages.
It's very good.
Great, then give me the briefcase.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
What?
Henry, don't do this.
What did you say?
I said I can't do that.
Come on, Henry.
This book is a fake. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's a
very good forgery, but this isn't the
Belvedere Chef's book.
I'm not messing around. That's the real book.
I believe that you think it is.
Come on, Henry. What are you doing?
But I assure you, this book is a fake.
Henry hands the man the book.
Give me that briefcase.
Well, that doesn't seem very fair if it's not the real book.
Give me the book.
Hey, oh, give me, stop. Hey. Alfredo!
Move in. Go.
Henry clutches the briefcase while the man tries to wrest it from him. Bailey and Monroe run at the man. Maggie runs out of the back of van. Bailey gives Henry his camera and runs after the man.
Excuse me!
The man almost runs into a pedestrian and rolls on the ground to avoid him. Bailey and Monroe run close behind the man. Maggie runs along the other direction of the path.
I mean, how could you let him get away?
Why are you angry? I just saved the department $30,000.
If you had given him the money, we could have arrested him, and then we'd still have the money. And the suspect.
You make a good point.
Oh.
Okay, look,
The book wasn't real. He still could have gotten away. Then we'd be stuck with a fake book and have lost $30,000.
How do you know it was a fake?
Oh, Maggie, you know I've been collecting antique books for years. There were so many red flags. Number one, the interior of the book was far too clean for a 100-year-old chef's book. Every chef knows that a book that old would have food stains throughout. Number two, while the recipes in the notes did appear authentic, the penmanship was clearly from one individual. Do you know there are 12 different characteristics of handwriting? Things like spacing, pen pressure, slant, line habits. The Belvedere Chef's book was added to over many generations by different family members. The writing in this book was far too uniform to represent all those different people. I could go on.
I think we're good.
Okay, just one final point. I smelled walnut oil on the pages.
Walnut oil.
Forgers use it to age paper. Look, if I had to guess, I would say this forgery was by a master who was rushed. In many respects, the work was excellent. I think he just ran out of time.
Rice, we got him.
Bailey walks up to the entrance and holds up a photo. Monroe at a monitor.
We got a facial recognition match on our guy. His name's Daniel Whelan. He was arrested for tax evasion 3 years ago. Never did any time, but still on probation.
We've got an address. Print that up. Let's pay Mr. Whelan a little visit.
They pull up to a neighborhood street.
So what now?
Well, without a warrant, I'm inclined just to wait and watch. We've got Bailey and Monroe circling the neighborhood if we need backup. Mm-hmm.
Henry pulls out trash from the door and seat.
Well, we could always clean up a little while we wait.
Maggie takes it.
Thank you. My car, my mess. I like it just the way it is.
Honey, I'm just saying, it's a little...
Stop.
Really?
I like it.
Maggie, look, is that who I think it is?
Yes, sir.
Leah leaves the house.
Leah Rollins just exited the house. She's getting into a black four-door Hyundai, license 1 Charlie Alpha Juliet 244. Looks like she's going south on Foster. Pick her up, bring her in.
Copy, we're on it.
Let's go.
Maggie and Henry get out of the vehicle. They walk into the backyard and approach the door. Maggie stands next to the back door and looks through the windows.
Daniel Whelan, police, open the door.
She looks over at Henry. She knocks on the door. It swings open.
Stay here. Do not move.
Maggie enters and pulls out her gun.
Daniel Whelan, this is the SFPD.
Henry looks off to the side.
Yeah, I don't think so.
She walks inside. Maggie points the gun at Henry. He holds up his hands.
Henry, stay close. Don't touch anything.
Okay.
Henry follows after Maggie, who leads with her gun. Maggie kicks open a door with her foot. She walks into the living room with the gun pointed.
This is the SFPD. Is anyone home?
She approaches a bedroom door that is ajar. Two legs stick out from behind a bed. Maggie puts her gun away. She rolls the person over.
Is it Daniel?
Yeah.
Maggie looks up at Henry. He sighs.
This case just got a lot more complicated.
The police in Daniel's bedroom. They wear blue gloves and take samples and pictures. They measure a footprint on a rug.
This is a size 12. The victim's is a 10.
Well, if this is a 12, these prints don't belong to Leah.
Nope. I'll have CSI look for more prints and collect a sample for soil analysis. Maybe they can trace the location for the mud.
All right.
Detective, this entry wound is different than the Richie Palmer murder. It's a single shot to the chest, but it's from a larger caliber bullet. The gun that killed Richie was a .38. This is more like a .45.
Yeah, we already found a .45 casing in the room.
Got it.
Thank you. Detective, thought you'd want to see this right away.
It was found in another bedroom.
Great. Any sign of the book?
No, ma'am. Not yet.
All right, keep looking. Thank you.
A gun in a bag.
Another Walter. This one's a 38. What do you want to bet this is the gun that killed Richie?
Henry looks at the gun and nods. Maggie and Henry walk out on the front lawn.
Bailey and Monroe have Leah back at the station. Once she saw their lights, she didn't even try running.
Okay.
Hey, do you see what I see?
You think that's the same red truck?
The red truck pulls away.
Maggie, come on, let's go.
No, it's too late. We'll never catch up.
In the interview room, they open a camera and film Leah. Leah takes a Kleenex.
Daniel called me earlier today and he was freaking out. He accidentally killed somebody.
Richie Palmer?
Yeah, that's right. Daniel swore it was an accident, but I don't know if I believe him. Him and Richie knew each other, and Richie had told him about this famous book that he was supposed to buy for his boss. I guess one thing led to another, and Daniel tried to get the book all for himself.
And you and Daniel...
He's my ex-boyfriend, or... was.
She cries and shakes her head.
I hadn't seen him in months. Part of the reason this first year has been so difficult is because Daniel was stealing from the restaurant to pay off some gambling debts. Mm-hmm. He told me he owed a lot of money to some people he was really scared of, and that's why I went to his house, because I was worried about him, and that's when I found him.
Why didn't you call the cops when Daniel told you about Richie?
I don't know. I was protecting him, I guess. Even after everything Daniel did, I guess I still have feelings for him. That probably sounds ridiculous.
Not at all.
Now I wish I had called you. Maybe Daniel would still be alive.
The police team looks at the suspect map.
Ballistics came back today on Elsa's Walter, and it was not a match for the weapon that killed Richie.
Which again points to the Walter we picked up at Daniel's. We found records that show he was licensed to carry Walter PPK.
Huh. Popular gun.
Which matches Leah's story. Daniel killed Richie with his own gun to get the book.
And someone else killed Daniel.
Now that person has the book.
Which Henry says is fake.
But whoever killed Daniel probably doesn't know that.
All of which takes us back to square one, with a killer on the loose and a missing book.
Yeah, except now we can add a red pickup truck into the mix.
Oh, perfect. This case is practically solving itself.
Square one. Henry, you're brilliant.
Maggie walks past Henry.
Well, are you coming?
Yeah, sure. Where?
Back to the beginning.
She holds up her hands.
Thank you for seeing us so late, Mrs. Klein.
Oh, call me Josie. Anything I can do to help. I can't believe there's been another murder, and all this over a book.
We know that you spoke with officers yesterday, but could you tell us again how you came across the book?
Well, as you know, I run a charity that supports the Children's Hospital. It was supposed to be something to keep me occupied during my retirement after my husband passed away. That's him.
Gestures to a picture.
William. We were married for 42 years.
He's very handsome.
Nods.
Thank you.
You were telling us about the charity?
Oh, yes. It's been such a success with so many people wanting to contribute. I'm afraid it's become rather a full-time job.
And the Belvedere book? Where did that come from?
Oh, I'm afraid I don't remember how that book came into the collection this year. I think I discovered it at the bottom of a box of assorted items. A little embarrassed to say I didn't know what it was. I'm just so shocked that anyone could kill over a book, no matter how valuable it was.
Would you be shocked to find out that the book may have been a forgery?
She frowns.
Oh, I thought the book was still missing.
It is, but we have reason to believe that the book that Richie bought on behalf of his employer, the book that you gave him, is a forgery.
If you don't recall how you came across the book, do you have a list of donors who gave to your charity this year?
Oh, yes, I do.
Wonderful. We'll need them.
Maggie and Henry follow Josie out.
Thank you for your time tonight, Josie. If you think of anything else that may be of use, you can reach me here.
Oh, I will. Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Josie takes the card. She closes the door and gets out her phone.
It's me, Josie. We have a problem.
The precinct. Henry holds up a cup of coffee.
All right, here you go. One stale black coffee and a paper cup.
Just the way I like it.
Thanks, hon.
You're welcome. You know, this Belvedere case has got me thinking that maybe my dad and I should add a little Louisiana flair to our menu at Molly's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He thinks it's a great idea. We're gonna do a little experimenting in the kitchen tonight after hours.
She smiles.
Nice to see you and your dad doing so well.
Yeah, well, business is booming.
Henry smiles at her.
Oh. Yeah, that's all thanks to you, by the way.
Oh. I'm just happy that you mended things between the two of you.
Yeah, me too.
Good.
She takes a sip of her coffee.
Henry, come look at something for a second.
Yeah, what's up?
All right, well, I've been going through the list that Josie gave us of all the donors that gave to her charity, right?
Yeah.
Nothing too interesting has been coming up until I Googled this guy, Milo Krause.
Says here he's a bookbinder.
Mm-hmm. You know who I'm thinking would make a really good forger?
I found the book in Los Angeles. It was in the bottom of a box, tucked away in the basement of a parchment supplier I visit when I'm down that way.
He had no idea what he had, and he sold it to me for next to nothing. But I knew exactly what it was, so I gave it to Josie for the auction. I knew she'd get a handsome price for it.
In your opinion, did you believe it to be authentic?
Well, I'm not a chef, and I can't speak to the recipes, but the actual book's age and its general construction, it appeared legitimate.
I noticed you have some first editions. You're obviously a book collector yourself.
I have a modest collection. I don't keep many for myself. Most of the valuable books I find, I sell or more often repair for other collectors. Restoration is a big part of my business. Mm.
And what is it you do exactly as a bookbinder?
Traditional binders, they work on large runs of books and magazines, but I focus on hand binding. I create limited editions and restore and rebind rare books. I work with collectors and libraries primarily.
You must have come across some forgeries over the years.
Yes, unfortunately. Forgery is a part of the business, whether it's books, famous letters, manuscripts. There are always people out there trying to swindle those who are less knowledgeable.
Are you aware that two people may have been killed in connection with the Belvedere book?
Yes, I read about it in the paper this morning. It's shocking. Is that what this is about?
We're simply following the trail of the book as part of the investigation.
Well, I understand the detective's role in this, but how do you fit into the picture, Mr. Ross?
Mr. Ross has experience with rare books and is consulting with the SFPD.
Henry raises his eyebrows. Milo looks down.
Oh, I see. And tell me, where is the book now?
Oh, I'm afraid we're not at liberty to discuss that.
Of course. Of course.
Henry smiles.
So, what do you think?
Did you see how nervous he looked when I said you have experience with rare books?
Yes, I did. He is definitely hiding something.
I agree.
You know who else is hiding something? That lawyer who hired you, Eric McLaren.
Yeah, but he's claiming attorney-client privilege. There's nothing you can do.
You know, I've been thinking about that. Do you usually have repeat clients?
Sometimes.
Okay, so whoever this mystery client is could be someone you've worked with before, or at least someone you know?
It's possible.
I have an idea.
Authorized personnel.
This is the camera over the front doors.
Okay, we need to see everyone who came in the front doors in the last week.
It's going to take a while if you want to get a good look at every face.
We got nowhere else to be.
Okay, here we go.
Henry rubs his face.
Here we are. Now we're into Wednesday.
Stop, wait. Go back 2 seconds.
Man in footage.
Yeah, stop. Look who it is.
Nicholas Belvedere. What floor is Eric McLaren's office on?
7th.
Can you show us if he gets off on the 7th floor?
Sure thing.
Nicholas shows up in the footage again.
Freeze.
Bingo.
Nicholas comes out of his front door.
You have impeccable timing, Detective Price. My lawyer and I were just about to call you.
Maggie and Henry exchange a glance.
Come on in.
They go inside. Eric sits at the kitchen table. He stands up.
Join us, won't you?
The others approach the table.
Detective? Henry?
Detective, I apologize for all the mystery and for lying to you earlier. I'm the one who secretly hired you, Henry, to buy the book at auction. Please, have a seat.
Maggie looks at Henry.
Detective, please.
Maggie and Henry sit down.
Why didn't you come forward after the first murder?
I knew that if my identity was revealed, I would most likely become a suspect. That's why you visited me in the first place, isn't it? I was just hoping you'd find the killer quickly and that my identity would never be a factor.
But why hire me secretly?
If people knew that I was bidding on my family's book, it would draw more attention to the auction, and everyone would assume that I'd pay anything to keep that book in my family, where it belongs. And they'd be right. I didn't want my presence to drive the price up.
Even if I were to believe your story, and that you didn't kill Daniel Whelan for the book, I could arrest you right now for obstruction of justice.
Detective, before we go down that path, what you're not aware of is why I'm here. Nicholas called me this morning to talk about coming forward. When he heard that there had been a second murder, he felt it was his duty to come clean and cooperate with the police. I came here personally to apprise him what the consequences of that admission might be. As his lawyer, I would ask that you take his cooperation into account and understand that his motives were completely innocent.
Detective, I believe that book belongs with me. It's an important part of my family's legacy, but not at the expense of people's lives. I didn't kill anyone. My family's name will forever be linked to those murders now. Believe me, I want that killer found just as much as you.
Maggie looks over at Henry. Restaurant, Molly's. Jim, Henry, and Maggie at the bar.
This is too much. Guys, when you said come over, I had no idea the two of you were cooking for an army.
Well, we're just playing around with a few ideas for the menu. We needed an impartial judge.
Now, here in front of you, we have oysters Rockefeller crostini, one of the specialties at Belvedere's Fine Dining. Here, we have creamy garlic shrimp in a Parmesan sauce. Mm. But what we're most excited about is showing you some of the finer points of Louisiana-style gumbo. Here, we have a Cajun gumbo with a roux base, which is more like a stew.
Pot.
And here we have a Creole gumbo, which has a tomato base, which is more like a soup, which we have here.
Oh, boy.
Now, Henry tells me that you like shrimp.
I do. Let me get in here.
She takes a bite.
Hmm?
Wow. Okay. Uh-huh. Molly definitely needs to add Creole to the menu.
I told you.
Yeah. We also have another little dish for the menu, Cajun mac and cheese.
We'll have a little spicy sausage, some shrimp, Cajun seasoning, a few of the little goodies I'm going to throw in there. But the best part is, we're going to call it the Abbey Special.
No way.
Henry smiles.
Anytime you and Abby come in here, it's on the house.
Guys, that is so thoughtful. Thank you so much. She's going to absolutely love that. Thank you.
Maggie gives Henry a kiss.
You're welcome. Hey. We're one big family here. We miss her, too.
So, how's the case going? I hear you two had a very interesting meeting with Nicholas Belvedere today, right?
Oh, yeah, you can say that again. I don't know. I just don't fully trust him. He's already lied to us once. I checked the system, though. He doesn't own a red truck or a gun. He has no prior arrests.
What do you make of our bookbinder?
Well, I was hoping to find him in the system as well. He fits so perfectly with the theory of the book being forged. He had access. And he certainly has the skill set. But again, nothing. No arrests, no violations, nada.
Henry looks down.
I saw something at his house. I leaned up against this large mirror and it closed a couple of inches as though one side were a hinge. To me, it felt like you could swing that whole mirror open on one side.
Why would a mirror have a hinge?
I don't know, but it clicked shut and it wouldn't move again.
I've seen a lot of wall safes in my time.
Well, whatever it is, I have an idea. Now, I know how you feel about breaking and entering, so I just wanted to run a little idea by you. Actually, it involves both of you.
And what is this little idea?
Exactly.
Henry and Maggie ring a doorbell.
I cannot believe I let you talk me into
what?
This.
Shh, he's coming.
Oh.
Milo opens the door.
Detective Price, Mr. Ross. What can I do for you?
We are so sorry to bother you this late, Mr. Krause, and I feel so dumb, but I have unfortunately left my house key somewhere, and we are retracing our steps for the entire day, and this is the last place that we haven't checked. Is there any way we can just pop in for 30 seconds and confirm that I didn't leave my keys here somewhere?
I'm quite sure they're not here.
I think I would have seen them.
I'm sure you're right, Mr. Krause, and I wouldn't even ask. It's just that, well, he's done this before, and there's no way I'm letting him sleep on my couch again. I promise we will be 30 seconds.
30 seconds.
Milo pauses, then gestures for them to enter.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
They walk into the living room.
So when we first arrived, I think we were in the kitchen, and then we, I think, ended up in the living room. So maybe they fell under the coffee table?
Or... yeah, I think they're over here.
Milo peeks through the window. He opens the front door. Jim, as a police officer, stands at the entrance.
It's over here.
I am sorry to bother you, sir. We are canvassing the area and talking to homeowners about the rash of break-ins reported in this neighborhood. If you don't mind, I'd like to ask you some questions. Mr.
Krause, now might not be the best time.
Well, just take a moment. Have you experienced any disturbances yourself recently?
No,
I haven't. We're mostly concerned about this past week. Have you heard any strange noises outside?
Maggie opens the mirror and enters through a doorway. She turns her light and her phone on and walks up a flight of stairs. She enters a kind of workshop. There is a desk with a bunch of fine tools. Maggie takes pictures of the contents on top of the desk. Maggie and Henry walk out from around the corner.
So, how long have you lived in this area?
We found them!
We got them! Again, so sorry to have bothered you, Mr. Krause. Oh, looks like you're having a busy evening.
So it would seem.
Well, then we'll get out of your way. Thank you, Mr. Krause. Good night, officer.
Good night.
So, that'll be all. Thank you.
Thank you.
Milo shuts the door. Jim sits in the back seat. Henry drives.
Oh, boy, have I ever missed that.
Uh-huh.
Just like old times.
Nice work, Officer Ross.
Yeah.
Wow, we could use you in undercover.
Oh, don't you tempt me, Maggie. I did my fair share of that back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get what you need?
Yes, sir. All of it. Right here. Milo definitely forged the chef's book. He had all the tools of the forger in that secret room. I mean, I'm willing to bet he's our guy.
Henry looks over at Maggie. The sunrise over the city. Restaurant, Molly's.
Price, you got a minute?
Yeah, what have you got for me, Monroe?
The lab report came back on the soil sample from that boot print at Daniel Whelan's house. There's nothing special for the most part, just your typical clay and other deposits from Central California, but there's one thing that's odd.
Yeah, what's that?
There's a high concentration of something called wormwood.
Wormwood, huh? That's an herb. Part of the plant, and its oils have been used in cooking and medicine for centuries.
Okay, so what was Wormwood doing at Daniel Whelan's house, and why do we care?
Beats me. You and Henry going to pick up Mr. Krause?
Yeah, we were just about to leave. We're also going to bring Josie back in for further questioning because my instincts tell me this whole thing starts with her.
The red truck pulls into the restaurant parking lot.
Henry, look.
Hmm?
Henry turns around.
What, are you kidding me? Is that the same truck?
Yeah, look at the shell on the back.
Price, are you still there?
Hang on a second, one more.
The man gets out with a clipboard and a driver's cap.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey.
What's going on? Why's the driver here?
Don't let him see him.
Very good. How you doing?
All right, I got your order here.
Thank you.
What are we supposed to do?
Maggie looks at the license plate.
It's different plates.
Phone.
Hey, Monroe. Run this plate for me, okay?
Yeah.
Lee Alpha Juliet 044.
Monroe looks at the monitor.
Okay, registered to a 2009 red Chevrolet Colorado pickup truck. Registered owner is Dominic Lambert. No outstanding warrants and no plates are listed missing.
Okay, listen, you and Bailey need to round up Milo Krause and Josie.
Fine, and bring them back to the station for questioning.
But keep them separated though, okay?
Okay, we're on it.
A lot more.
Monroe got a hit on the truck.
Look, there he goes.
The man leaves.
Hey, Dad.
Mm.
Jim, who was that guy that you were just talking to?
Not the guy with the cap?
Yeah.
His name's Dom. He's the guy I told you about. He was here the other day, remember? He owns a liquor distillery.
a distillery.
Yeah, he's got this new drink that's very popular, Emerald Dream. All the young people are into it, apparently, so I thought maybe we could serve it here. Dom left a couple of samples here the other day, and so far, everyone loves it. I just ordered some more. Why? What's wrong?
Dad, can you show me this drink?
Yeah, sure.
Do you remember it?
No, I've never met him. I don't know what's going on. I don't know anything about this distillery.
Here you go.
Jim pours Henry a green drink. Henry holds it up to the light.
It's a little bitter for me, but Dom says they're doing so well that they've decided to expand their product line based on the success of this one drink.
Henry takes a drink.
What do you make of it?
Henry licks his lips.
I take it this kid's in some kind of trouble.
Could be. In more ways than one.
The city.
Just tell me what you're thinking.
No, it's just a hunch. It's too early to speculate. But what I would love is to get a look inside that distillery.
Yeah, me too. We've got Milo and Josie back at the precinct to explain their involvement in the forgery. But what we don't know is how Dom Lampert fits into all of this. Clearly, he's been tailing us. We spotted him at the second murder scene.
Well, why don't we pick him up and bring him in?
Yeah, I don't like going into an interrogation blind. I want to know what I'm dealing with first. Wait, I have an idea. Jim said that Dom is doing the rounds with his clients, right?
Yeah.
Just follow my lead.
Henry gives Maggie a look. They drive up to a distillery. A woman with a clipboard approaches them and gives Maggie a handshake.
Hello, may I help you?
Hi there. Yes, I'm Maggie Price. This is my partner, Henry Ross.
Hi.
We're consultants for a chain of liquor distributors in Europe, and we recently came across your Emerald Dream and spoke with Mr. Lambert about possibly doing a marketing study overseas.
That's right. We think there's a huge opportunity for this drink, and Dom said to just come by and he would show us around the facility.
Oh, I'm afraid Mr. Lambert isn't in right now. Did you have an appointment?
No, sorry. He made it sound like we could just drop by any time.
I'm sure he'll be back by 3. Would you like to come back then?
Oh, I'm afraid that's not going to work. We have the
plane to catch to London, because we are attending the European Wine and Spirits Festival, where we were hoping to talk about Emerald Dream to all of our clients.
We're not going
to
be back in the San Francisco area for, what, several months?
You know what? I'm sure it's fine if it's quick. I'll take you through right now.
Oh.
Thank you.
Great.
That would be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Walks through plastic door.
As you can see, everything is state of the art. We are still a small distillery, but Mr. Lambert feels very strongly that distilling is firmly rooted in Californian tradition. And we can compete with some of the bigger names out there as long as we keep our ingredients organic and local. That's a big selling point for us.
So all the ingredients are local? Interesting.
Maggie looks over at Henry, who stays back with the distillery drums. He goes up to a steel door that says authorized personnel only. He tries the knob. It's locked. He looks back over his shoulder as he crouches down to a vent at the bottom of the door. He pretends to tie his shoes as he sniffs the vent. He gets up. The suspect map at the precinct.
Thanks, boys.
All right.
Okay. Dominic Lambert owns a distillery and makes a very popular drink called Emerald Dream.
Oh, yeah. I know that drink. It's great.
Yeah, and I think I know why.
What do you mean?
Okay. We just took a quick tour of the distillery, and through a vent on a locked door, I smelled Thujone.
What's that?
All right. Stick with me on this. Thujone has a very distinct menthol smell and is a central component of pure absinthe.
Absinthe?
Yeah. I believe Mr. Lambert is using an old formula of absinthe, which uses thujone. Now, thujone has a very high alcohol content and is toxic in high enough doses. It can lead to convulsions and even death. The FDA bans it, and it is very much illegal to serve it in food or drink. But the best part is, guess where it comes from?
Points to the word.
Wormwood.
Oh, and traces of wormwood were found in the muddy boot print at Daniel Whelan's crime scene.
Exactly. If Dom Lambert didn't kill Whelan, he's certainly involved.
So not only is this guy selling an illegal substance, but he's also the number one suspect in a murder investigation.
I still don't understand how all of this is connected to the book.
That's what we're about to find out.
Josie in the interview room. She frowns and fidgets. Henry and Maggie enter.
You've been lying to me, Mrs. Klein.
About the book? About Milo? I've got two victims in a murder investigation, and all of my evidence points back at you and that book. It's not looking good for you.
I didn't kill anyone, I promise.
Then start talking. And the truth, this time.
They sit down. Maggie turns on the video camera.
I was given the original chef's book. Milo found it in Los Angeles and sitting there in a dusty back room. He knew it would be a great item for the charity auction.
Why didn't you just sell the original book?
At first, I intended to.
She shakes head.
When I first got it, I didn't really examine it much. It seemed authentic, so I added it to the auction catalog. It wasn't until later that I had time to sit down and really examine its contents. How much do you know about absence?
Henry looks over at Maggie.
Quite a bit, actually. I'm somewhat of a culinary history buff.
Well, then you may know that 100 years ago it was popular not only as a drink, but as a food ingredient. Many restaurants used it in their menu, but once it became illegal, they were forced to stop. What I discovered in the chef's book was that Belvedere's never stopped using it. In fact, some of their most famous signature dishes relied heavily on it.
Couldn't they have just substituted the absinthe?
Some places did, and they lost customers over it. Apparently, Belvedere didn't want to risk it. The problem is that absinthe has sometimes been associated with serious health issues.
I knew that if it became public knowledge that the famous Belvedere's had been using an illegal substance for decades, their legacy would be ruined, and Nicholas might even be vulnerable to a class action lawsuit.
You're actually right about that lawsuit. What they were doing was illegal. Nicholas could be financially ruined over this.
Why would you care so much about Nicholas and the Belvedere family?
Josie frowns and shakes head.
I was married to my husband for over 40 years, and I loved him dearly. But before William, I was in love with a very talented young man. He was so good looking and so passionate about life and cooking. His name was George Belvedere, Nicholas's grandfather. Our lives went in separate directions, but you never forget your first love.
So you didn't want the Belvedere name harmed. So you reached out to Milo and you knew he could forge the book.
I didn't know what else to do.
She grimaces.
The book had already been publicly announced, and I thought if Milo just recreated it and took out all the references to absinthe, then who would be hurt?
Henry looks up.
Everything else was exactly as it was in the original. I had no idea it would lead to all this. But please don't blame Milo for any of this. He's an old friend. And he did it for me. I just wanted to protect Nicholas. It would have devastated George if he ruined his grandson's life.
We're gonna need that book. If you haven't destroyed it.
Oh, of course. I couldn't bring myself to do that. I still have it.
Just one last thing. Do you know a Dominic Lambert?
No, I've never heard of him.
Maggie and Henry walk down hallway.
Okay, so the mystery of the forged book is solved. That still doesn't explain how Dom Lambert and his distillery are connected to the book and why he killed Daniel Whelan.
Well, I hate to say it, but is it possible they're not connected?
No, I don't buy it. Absinthe and that chef's book are at the center of all of this. Dom Lambert killed for that book.
Well, if you believe Josie Klein, Nicholas Belvedere had a lot to lose if that book got into the wrong hands.
Well, it's true. A class action lawsuit would financially destroy Nicholas. I mean, he'd be wishing that Van Gogh painting of his truly were real.
Maggie's eyes flicker. Flashbacks. The windmill painting. Dominic delivers a box at the restaurant. The drink Emerald Dream.
Wait a minute. What was in the Van Gogh painting on Nicholas's wall?
It was a windmill.
And what is the full name of Dom's distillery again?
WLD stands for Windmolen Liquor Distillery. Wait. Windmolen is Dutch for windmill.
Windmill. Nicholas's painting is part of the distillery's logo and name.
Van Gogh was famous for drinking absinthe.
Dear, where are you going with this?
The distillery would need a large crop of wormwood to create enough thujone for its operation, right?
Yes, it would.
It'd need acres of private land with no prying eyes.
Would you two please fill me in on what you were talking about?
Yes, follow me.
Maggie goes over to her computer and sits down.
So, let's look at this.
Henry and Forsyth lean in.
This is the Belvedere Mansion from an aerial point of view. There's the house.
Right, I recognize that.
Now let's just take a little look over here.
What are those?
Zooms in on map.
Those look like very large greenhouses.
Seems like a great place to grow a lot of wormwood, don't you think?
Henry and Maggie walk into a greenhouse at night. Henry takes the plant and smells it.
It's wormwood, all right.
There must be thousands of plants in here.
This is just one greenhouse. He has three others.
So Nicholas and Dominic are in business together in an illegal liquor operation.
I still don't understand how the book fits into all of this.
And hopefully no one ever will.
Nicholas with gun.
I'm sure you have a gun on you somewhere, Detective. Drop it to the ground.
Maggie crouches down and sets her gun on the ground.
Now both of you back up.
They back up through the wormwood. Nicholas bends down to pick up her gun.
So who killed Daniel Whelan? Was that you or Dominic?
Now that was Dom. You were very helpful in leading us to Daniel. We both knew he had the book after your failed sting operation. Well, thank you for not buying it, by the way, Henry. Daniel was kind enough to give it to us at his house before... Well, you know.
It's all starting to make sense.
If you say so.
Nicholas heard about the book's existence and was worried that absinthe may have been mentioned in it. He knew he had to get his hands on it first. That's why he hired you through the lawyer.
Very good, Detective. There'd always been rumors in my family that our restaurant had never stopped using absinthe in the menu. It's quite the family secret. I knew that if it was widely known, my family's name would be destroyed, and I'd lose everything in lawsuits.
Losing all of your money would have been the least of your problems. If the FDA found out that you and Dom were secretly selling Thujone in your liquor operations, you would have been going away for a long time.
That's why you needed the book.
Well, as you've discovered, I have quite a lot of wormwood that I'd like to keep secret. The less people or federal agencies that poke around in my life, the better.
But you inherited a fortune. Why risk it over this?
Well, looks can be deceiving, Henry. My father made some foolish investments. That's part of the reason that Belvedere's closed. Dom and I went to school together. His family had a background in the distillery business. I supplied the startup capital and the greenhouses for wormwood, and Dom supplied the distillery know-how.
The only problem was the book and what might be inside it.
Turned out I didn't need to worry about that. My family was smarter than I thought. They made no mention of absinthe. I've destroyed the book, so it doesn't really matter, but it's a shame that two people had to lose their lives over it. Sorry. I mean four.
Nicholas? Nicholas, look at me. You don't need to do this.
Maggie throws pot. Nicholas gets knocked into the plants. Henry and Maggie crouch along the outside row of the greenhouse, each on opposite sides. Nicholas gets up from the plants. Maggie gets a gun she has strapped in her boot. Henry looks up slowly. Nicholas points a gun and walks slowly. He fires at Henry and hits the wall. Henry ducks down. Both he and Maggie run along the plants. Henry touches the wall and notices that it's a door. He runs outside. He's in the space between two greenhouses and it's raining. He runs into the adjoining greenhouse. Nicholas runs out of the greenhouse through the opening that Henry had found. He enters the second greenhouse. Henry runs crouched along the side of a row of plants. Nicholas rushes to the center of the greenhouse and points the gun in various directions. Henry leans against the plants.
I know you're in here, Henry!
You have no idea, do you?
What?
The book you destroyed is a fake. The real Belvedere Chef's book is safe in our custody, and it very much describes the absinthe that your family used in their menu.
You're lying!
Afraid not. Even if you kill us, the police know everything about the distillery. It's over, Nicholas.
Henry moves to another spot while crouching. He hits up against one of the pots on the ground. He pulls a small garden shovel out of it.
Yes.
He grips it in his hand, then throws it over his shoulder. Nicholas comes up from behind and points the gun at Henry.
Get up, Henry.
Henry stands up and raises his arms. Nicholas grabs him by the collar.
Detective, I know you're in here. Show yourself if you want to see your partner alive again.
Maggie, don't!
Show yourself or I'll kill him!
Maggie comes up from behind one of the rows with her gun aimed.
A second gun. I should have known. Don't come any closer.
Henry twists the spigot on a coiled hose.
You shoot him, I shoot you. Your choice.
Could we have one more choice, perhaps?
Henry slowly takes the water gun attachment and sprays Nicholas in the face. Maggie fires her gun at the same time. Nicholas falls over and drops his gun behind him.
It's over, Nicholas.
Maggie points her gun at Nicholas. Henry points the hose attachment at Nicholas.
So Daniel killed Richie, hoping to sell the book and pay off his gambling debts.
And then Dom, under orders from Nicholas, killed Daniel. They thought they finally had the real book and all their problems were over.
What about Josie and Milo?
After hearing her side, I spoke with the DA. What they did was wrong, but it came from a good place. So the charges were dropped to a misdemeanor and they'll serve a little probation and that's it.
Oh, to the best crime-fighting duo since Holmes and Watson.
That might be a little much.
Castle and Beckett?
Batman and Robin.
Am I the Robin in this?
Definitely. How about simply do a job well done by everyone, including you, Jim?
Well, thank you, Maggie.
Cheers!
They toast wine glasses in the restaurant.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm gonna check something on the grill.
Of course.
All right.
Well, I was going to save this for later, but I have a little something for you.
What is this?
She gives him a box with a bow. He unwraps the box. It has a leather cover with an ornate bee on it.
Wait, is this?
The actual Belvedere Chef's book. I convinced Josie to give it to me, and I told her that I knew a certain someone who would truly appreciate its historical significance and always, always take good care of it.
Wow, I don't know what to say.
Oh, well, that's first.
She smiles broadly at him.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Henry kisses her. She looks into his eyes.
You deserve it.
Well, since we're exchanging gifts,
oh.
I have a little something for you, too.
Okay.
Always felt bad that we missed the Giants game, so I got us tickets to tomorrow night's game right behind home plate.
He takes out tickets.
Wait, there's three tickets.
Well, it's a long weekend, so I thought maybe we could have company.
Abby comes out of one of the hallways. Maggie throws her arms around her.
Baby girl, what are you doing here? Henry sent me a ticket so I could come for the weekend. You did this?
Henry shrugs.
Can you afford the time away? Yeah, it's fine. I mean, to tell you the truth, I kind of miss you. Kind of.
Shakes head.
I miss you so much.
They hug tightly.
Besides, we are celebrating, and I heard that there is some killer mac and cheese that I need to try.
They group hug.
I can't believe